Yes, in the studio, Ruben from Unknown Mortal Orchestra. Welcome back to Australia, sir.
Thank you.
You do have a gentleman next to you in a Mexican wrestling mask.
Yeah, this is Ost. It sounds a bit childish, but he's my best mate from New Zealand. So today we're just going to do...
That's great.
I've been doing like interviews for years and years, so it's like... Make it bearable.
Yeah, good.
not that this is ever a bad one.
Good. So to make an interview bearable, you brought in your mate from New Zealand wearing a Mexican wrestling mask.
And we had a radio show together, actually, in New Zealand on BFM.
On BFM, I was going to say. Yeah, I used to listen to BFM when I was in Auckland. And what was the radio station called? Radio show called, sorry.
It was called News Good. The tagline was "No news is news good." And we'd tell news about music news and things like that. Make fun of people, make fake ads for things.
Can you give us some music news now? Do you have a piece of music news you want to do in the News Good style?
Well, the one thing that we used to do is we would always update Keith Urban news. And we had a sting for, so we would say, okay, the latest news on Keith Urban. And it was like, most of the stuff was like about, punk and metal and stuff like that. But then we would update, make sure the listeners were
how he was Keith. Charting on the Billboard Country Top 200. Yeah. Usually he was good at getting into the mid 30s.
It's a good place for Keith Urban. Well, if anyone does have some Keith Urban news, send us a text 0439757555, and I'll check that.
I haven't caught up with Keith in a long time. I don't even know what he's up to.
Oh man, I feel bad.
Yeah,
this talk of splendor in the grass.
I've been too busy, I've changed my priorities a little bit. Yeah.
All right. Well, just so you know, during the entire of this interview, there is a gentleman, a tall gentleman in a denim jacket and a black Mexican wrestling mask, sitting next to Ruben, which is good. Excellent. So, I saw you at the start of the year, the very first day of the year. You played in Thurool in southern New South Wales.
Yeah, right. Okay, now I remember. Yeah, they were asking me when I was here and I just couldn't remember exactly what time frame it was.
I imagine it's probably because you've been to a fair few places since then.
I just think I've forgotten like the specifics of a lot of things, I think.
Oh no. Do you keep a diary or any way of like knowing where you were at certain times and you look back at it?
Well, I have like Instagram, I think is the one. And then it's like I know where everything is and I know, it's all dated, so that's good.
So that's the way. So if the internet goes down, if you lose all your social media, that's it.
Maybe, but I just I've been printing out my Instagram in little booklets. They have these people that make booklets out of them. So I've been doing that as well.
Very smart. Yeah. Nice. I was looking at your Instagram. I did get a tip off that Ost may be here via your Instagram. Also, I saw this crazy guitar. It's a very funny shaped guitar. You were playing it at a festival when you were wearing shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
Has that guitar made it to Australia?
No, I just, I would have had to pay like $300 extra to bring it, I think. It's a Rogue electric sitar. It sounds really cool.
Nice.
And it's kind of my spare guitar. If my other guitar like breaks down, then I just switch to the sitar.
And does it sound like a sitar?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you break a string, the next couple of songs are going to sound
like
it's
just totally
sitar.
Different. Yeah.
That's great. That's all right. From now on, all guitarists should do that. Their spare guitar should be a different kind of guitar.
Yeah, just a completely different instrument.
That would be great. Imagine if Slash only had one spare guitar, but he decided to make it a sitar.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, so you guys have been playing. I saw you played. You played Roskilde Festival quite recently, and some other festivals. How do you guys go? How does Unknown Mortal Orchestra go at festivals?
Roskilde was crazy. We flew like 24 hours and just to play that one show, but it was worth it. There were, it was like 3,000 or 4,000 people all singing "So Good at Being in Trouble." It was pretty insane. I felt like we played one of our best shows. So that was really good. And I can't remember any further back than that.
Okay. Well, we'll start your memories there. And since everyone was singing along to it,
I'll check Instagram and see.
If someone wants to check Instagram for us while we're on air and let us know what goes on, why don't we play that song right now, "So Good at Being in Trouble." And afterwards, we'll talk about a different version of this, which has most recently been tweeted about by Big Boy on Triple J. That was "So Good at Being in Trouble" by Unknown Mortal Orchestra, who are in the country playing tonight in Sydney at the Standard with Waves, playing at Splendor in the Grass, and then Melbourne at the Corner. All shows are sold out. But we just played that song, and there's a different version of it, which just recently hit the world, which sounds a little bit like this. So can you tell us, Ruben, about the Killer Mike GTO Black X Noise and Mother Effing Exquire version of So Good at Being in Trouble?
I just Black Noise just started like messing around with the stems. He got it. He got them through a friend of ours. He does, you know, he's like, he works with rock bands and hip hop people, so he's always kind of like hooking those people up. And he put Waves on tour with Jizza, was like another weird crossover thing that happened, and you
I
know stuff
when
like
Waves
that.
Waves were touring with the Jizza,
So that was kind of how it kind of happened, and then I don't know, it's just really cool. And then Big Boy, I don't know, he started getting interested in UMO for some reason, and then started following me on Twitter, and then we were trying to figure out how to premiere it, and he premiered it on his Twitter instead of like going through Pitchfork or something like that. It was just like the same old thing.
Yeah.
So that was cool, and I don't know, I really particularly like the Exquire verse. I think it's really good.
Is that the second verse?
Yeah. Was it? Yeah. So I mean, I like Killer Mike's verse as well, but I kind of feel like if he'd heard Exquire's verse, he would have gone back to the drawing board maybe, because I think they must have handed their verses in at the same time. You know?
Their homework on the same day.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's have a listen to it. I'm going to have just a little bit of Mother Effing Exquire's verse here. This is Exquire's verse of it on Triple J. To start this off, I must admit, one pen in this verse that I feel guilty. Not guilty due to honesty. More guilty, y'all will feel me. I'm a love addict, no pleasure's pain. I'm always drawn to that flame again. Ever weary of the outcome, the precise definition of insane. Anyway, so Unknown Mortal Orchestra are in the studio. Well, one third thereof. In the country for these shows, you said Waves toured with the Jizza as a result, the same guy that put that remix together.
Yeah.
And they're actually coming in tomorrow morning to do a take five on Triple J. But you're cool. Playing these side shows with them. Where did you first meet up with Waves?
We first met up with them, I think it was the MTV Award, after the MTV Awards, they went there, and then they were hanging out with a friend of ours, and they said, and we had just arrived in to LA, and our friend said, like, we're coming to pick you up, we got this Escalade for the rest of the night.
What's an Escalade?
It's like the kind of car that Tony Soprano would drive, like a big, like just like the most obscene. No, it's like it's like the most obscene SUV. It's kind of like an evil car. It's definitely the kind of thing that you want to get chauffeured around LA. And
what was it like with Waves in the Escalade?
It was good. We just wandered around. I guess they had the car for free and the chauffeur for the rest of the night. So we just like wandered around and got up to trouble, went to a few different places. And that was a good introduction to them.
I feel bad that
I kind of want to tell. I can't really tell you what we got up to because it involves illegalities and stuff.
Yeah, what that probably means is that they jaywalked, right? Now, anything
we
else you want to take?
I'm not proud of it, but
anything else? Maybe Kyron will draw it out of Nathan from Waves when they're chatting tomorrow morning on Triple J.
Probably don't remember.
Probably for the best.
Last time I brought up that night with Stephen, I think he was just like, "Yeah, man, okay, cool." It's like, okay.
So he doesn't actually
just letting him know what he's been up to. Stephen, I was like, "Oh, it was funny. It was really funny when you did this." He's like, "Cool, man." Okay.
Stephen is a very lovely and strange gentleman.
Yes.
Last time we spoke to Nathan, he was just talking about Stephen's psoriasis. That was pretty much the most of the conversation.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that about Stephen. I'll be sensitive about that in the future.
Oh, yes, the Fancy Fingers are in the studio right now, as a matter of fact. Ruben from Unknown Mortal Orchestra. How are the fingers going at these shows? It must be pretty warm after all this.
Yeah, they're all right. My index finger is like pretty worn away. I bought some like these brass things to like protect my fingers, but I can't play with them. Like, I just have to take the blood and the blisters. It's just 3 years of touring with no pick.
Yeah, because that's right, it's all finger-picked, so there you go. Now, you're playing at Splendor in the Grass with a bunch of other mates. Waves are going to be there. Portugal the Man, they were in the other day. They live in Portland. Are they mates of yours?
Yeah, we've known them for a long time. Jake, the bass player in our band, I think maybe recorded them first. It was like the first ever studio stuff with him because he's an engineer producer guy.
Well, that was years ago. That was like seven albums before.
Yeah. Well, Jake's been doing that for quite a while. He was like he's always been interested in that.
Yeah, he recorded your previous band, the Mint Chicks.
Yeah,
and didn't he? I remember telling the story that he used to come back to his studio when you guys, I think, were recording UMO1, and find you passed out in a warehouse covered in chips.
Yeah,
with a song completed. Is that the UMO way of writing?
Yeah, I would just because I was when I did the first album, I was like borrowing people's basements and like stuff like that, and he had a warehouse that his brother had started using, and so like there was a back room thing there that I was like, oh yeah, can I borrow the back room? Yeah, so I would kind of stay up all night and then just crash out on the chair there, and he would come in and go, what the hell's going on?
And you have a song finished.
Yeah, it was like, I think I did Jello and Juggernauts there. Yeah.
Nice. Also on Splendor in the Grass is a band who, you played at a festival they curated, TV on the Radio. You mates with them as well?
We just hung out with them. Tunde, I think, was the guy that was really into us. So that was cool. I got to meet him, and it's just like, I love that band. So it was kind of amazing to finish the set, and then he's standing there, he's like, I love your band, man. It's like, you have no idea. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's been like, I mean, from the Mint Chicks doing a bunch of stuff, you know, in New Zealand, around the world, to now Unknown Mortal Orchestra, there's probably quite a few boxes ticked for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. I've met a lot of the people that I really respect. The only people left to meet are like people like David Gilmour and, do you know what I mean? Like weird, like like McCartney or something.
Well, you know, McCartney's jamming with Nirvana. You know, Dave Gilmour's still around. Pink Floyd's still, you know.
Yeah, I hope I'll be able to meet some of those dudes. That would be really the coolest thing. Meet Mick Jagger or Keith Richards or something.
Good. All right. Ruben from Unknown Mortal Orchestra is in the country, in the studio. Do you have horns with you to play this song? Oh man, it's my favorite jam from UMO2. Are there horns with you guys here?
No, but actually in Auckland, because my dad played that on the record, and my dad sat in with us like on stage, and that was pretty cool. And he like did his sexy sax solo thing.
Is it good having your dad playing sexy sax up on stage with you?
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, he's not. He's a really good musician. He's like, and he's pretty badass dude. So it's not. My dad's cooler than most people who would think it was weird to bring your dad on stage. If that makes sense.
It's like
they would be like, oh, you bring your dad on stage. Dad's daggy, but at the same time, it's kind of like, my dad's cooler than you. So
Chris Nielsen is Ruben's dad. All right, we'll let you guys get away to play the show in Sydney tonight, Splendor in the Grass, Melbourne on Saturday night. I'm going to play How Can You Love Me, because Hannah was playing this song this morning, my producer, and it's awesome, off UMO1 on Triple J, Unknown Mortal Orchestra. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you,
Ruben. Thank you.
It's the Doctor on Triple J.